Ezekiel chapter 18, verse number 1. The Bible says, "The word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, What mean ye that ye use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, saith the Lord God, ye shall not have occasion any more to use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine, as the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. But if a man be just, and do that which is lawful and right, and hath not eaten upon the mountains, neither hath lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, neither hath defiled his neighbor's wife, neither hath come near to a menstruous woman, and hath not oppressed any, but hath restored to the debtor his pledge, hath spoiled none by violence, hath given his bread to the hungry, and hath covered the naked with a garment. He that hath not given forth upon usury, neither hath taken any increase, that hath withdrawn his hand from iniquity, hath executed true judgment between man and man, hath walked in my statutes, and hath kept my judgments, to deal truly, he is just, he shall surely live, saith the Lord God." All right, but we're going to stop right there. Let me pray, and then we'll keep going here and finish this. Let's pray. Father, I thank you once again for the safety you gave us this morning. Thank you for the strength that you gave us this week and another week that of life that you've given us. And Lord, I pray that we used it for your honor, your glory. As we stand here and sit here this morning, I pray, Lord, that you'd be honored in everything that's done. As we think about this week, our country, and Lord, just the blessing that you've given us and the freedoms that we have, Lord, I pray we wouldn't take it for granted. Help us to be thankful. Help us to be grateful for all that you've given us. And Lord, help us this morning as we look at this thought of the sins of the fathers being passed to the children. And Lord, I pray that you would help me in my life, Lord, the things that I've struggled with, help me to be able to help my kids get the victory over it. And Lord, I pray that you'd help all the Sunday school classes this morning that are being taught, help pastors he preaches later. Lord, I think of those that aren't able to be with us here this morning. I would think especially of Brother John Reiser and pray that you'd help him, Miss Terry, and many others, Lord, that just need a special touch from you, and I pray that you'd help them and bless them. In Jesus' name, amen. If you remember last week, verse number four, down through verse number nine, it talks about a man that lives uprightly. I use the word uprightly, but a man that lives justly, a man that honors God with the things that he does. And we see that in the first few verses. And then where I stopped at verse number 9, if in verse number 10, it talks about his son. So we have the father, and then we have a son here. So from verse number 10 down through verse number 13, it talks about the opposite. So the first few verses, we have a man that lives right and honors God. And then the next few verses, we have a son that does not live right, does not honor God, does not obey God's commandments. And then in verse number 14, it says, "Now, lo, if he beget a son that seeth all his father's sins which he hath done, and considereth, and doeth not such like." And then it talks about the good that he has done. And every one of these, we have the grandfather, the son, and then the grandson, every one of them had to make a choice to live the way that they were going to live. None of them were forced to live the way they were lived. You know, we've got a victim, pastors talked about this, we've got a victim's mentality in our society today. Everybody thinks that they are a victim, that they're just a result of their circumstances. And it's like, okay, I can understand, but you know, some of the best kids that we've turned out at Blessed Hope Baptist Church didn't have the best circumstances. Okay? And so that's just an excuse most of the time for people to not live correctly. All right? So we see that here. What I wanted to talk this morning, and I had something else that we was going to talk about, and I was outside yesterday working, and I got thinking about my lesson. But what I wanted to talk about this morning is the fathers, okay, is a father helping the next generation not do what they have done before, okay? If you look at verse number 14 in Ezekiel chapter number 18, the Bible says, "Now, lo, if he beget a son." Now, this he is the man that did not live righteously, "that seeth all his father's sins which he hath done." So he has seen, his son has seen the things that his father has done. And they haven't been right, they haven't been God-honoring. And the Bible says he seeth them. So first of all, he notices them. And the second of all, he considers them. The Bible says, and considereth, and doeth not such like. So he sees it, he considers it, and says, I'm not going to do what my father has done. Okay? Now that is his thing. We talked about last week about how, I think it was last week, we talked about how the father, because they decide to give up just in one little area, we go back to the book of Judges, remember that, where we went to the book of Judges, and it's the fathers that didn't expel all the Canaanites out of the land, and then their children married the Canaanite, or the heathens of the land, and then the next generation is the one that God sent judgment on. Okay, and we saw that in Judges, I think it was chapter 3. And I want to challenge you, and this is a thought, because of who is in this class. You know, you've got the children, you've got the younger generation below you, and I believe it's important for us to not just wash over the things that were hard for us, okay, but to deal with those things. Because what happens a lot of times, and some of you were saved later on in life, you became the chain breaker in your family later on in life, but what happens is sometimes we just, you know, we want to forget all that stuff. And I think it's good to, you know, you don't want to bring up everything and develop an appetite in our kids for the world. I'm not talking about that. But there are things, and I believe that some things in life are generational, that are harder for a certain group of people. For instance, if a father has a short temper, okay, you find that a lot of times in the son. The son has a short temper. Does that make sense? Okay, so there are generational things that because of the way you've been brought up, or because of just the way God made you, okay? Not everybody is made the same way. Not everybody has the same attitude about things. And because of that, there are certain sins, there are certain things that God has helped you get the victory on that your kids may be struggling with too, okay? Or your grandkids may be struggling with. And I think it's a very powerful thing when somebody can come in and say, all right, I've struggled with this, and God's given me the victory over this. Let me help you get the victory over this. Or explain to them, hey, I've struggled with it. You know, music, okay? A lot of your generation, you grew up when the bad music really started to become prevalent, okay? And maybe some of you were involved in that. Well, because of that, that has passed on. Well, you know, God, if God's given you the victory in that, why wouldn't you share that with your kids, okay? Hey, you know, when the time's right, you know, I'm not going to go to Micah, my three-year-old, and try to explain to him, you know, something that I've gotten the victory over in life. He has no comprehension of that, okay? He just wants to go play with Thomas or go outside and stomp in a mud puddle. He doesn't really care, okay? But there will be a time that it does matter, that it is important, okay? And we're going to look at this. I want to show you out of the Bible why I believe this is so important, that we don't just pass over things. And honestly, that we deal with things personally in our own lives. Because that's the other thing. We get aggravated with kids that are rebellious. But you know the reason most kids are rebellious is because at some point the parents are rebellious. Okay? Well, they just got a rotten attitude. Well, how's your attitude? Okay? If my kids are falling short in some place, the first place I look at is my life. Because I am what they follow, okay? And so it's kind of, you know, and we'll talk about that in a moment. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 24. Deuteronomy chapter 24. All right, I'm just going to show you this. We looked at this. I think we looked at this one, this particular verse last week. This is the law of Moses, okay? This is what God has commanded, okay? Now, if you notice in Ezekiel chapter number 18, the Bible said that there is a proverb concerning you that you have in the land of Israel, that the children's teeth are set on edge because of the sour grapes that the fathers have eaten. Moses' law, Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 16, the Bible says, the fathers shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children be put to death for the fathers. Every man shall be put to death for his own sin. Now you say, Brother Chad, that's That's a universal. You know, you're held accountable. There are some things, and let's just, in review, go to Exodus chapter number 20. Excuse me. Exodus chapter number 20. Now, like I said, everyone's held accountable for your own sin, but there are things that will hurt the future generation just because you say, well, Brother Chad, I got it right. Everything's okay. No, that doesn't give you an excuse to just do things because you will hurt the future generations. All right? One of the things that we looked at that the Bible very specifically says that you'll hurt the future generations is the subject of idolatry. We talked about that, I think, 3 weeks ago. Exodus chapter number 20. Verse number four, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Okay, so it's, I believe there are some things that God says, all right, you do these things, and your children are still going to pay the consequences. Now, listen, that's very true in today's society. Look at families that don't serve God and how it hurts their kids, okay? One of the reasons I serve God is, and maybe this is a carnal reason, but I do it for my kids. I want the best for my kids. This is the best life that we can live, and I'm doing it for my kids. If I just lived for myself, I wouldn't, you know, okay, if I just lived for myself, I wouldn't necessarily be standing here today. And if you're honest with yourself, if you were living for yourself, why would you come to church? There's a lot of other things. And most other people out there today are living for themselves. That's why they're not sitting in church. You know, they're at the park. This is 4th of July weekend. You know, they're out boating. They're out pleasing themselves, okay? Why do I do some of the things I do? Because for my kids. For the third and fourth generation, okay? So that's why we do some of those things. All right, let's go to Joshua chapter number 24. Most of you probably know where I'm going with this one. But Joshua chapter 24. We're going to look at verse number 14. Joshua chapter 24, verse 14. Bible says, now therefore, fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. What did Joshua do right here? He gave them a challenge. All right, you need to serve the Lord. Don't serve the gods that your father served, like we saw in Ezekiel, okay? Ezekiel chapter 18. Don't serve the, if your father served the world, don't serve those. You got to choose this day whom you will serve, okay? And we see that. All the young people, every generation, my generation, the generations below me, must decide who they're going to serve, okay? There is that choice. Your kids have to decide. My kids will have to decide. One of my prayers, we pray every night with our kids. One of my prayers is that our kids serve God. I remember growing up, my dad would pray, help our kids to serve God. He also prayed, help our kids to marry right. I remember that every time he prayed, he would pray for us to marry the right one. That's a big deal. That's a big deal, okay? But as a parent, if I'm struggling with something, or if I have struggled with something, I think it's important for us to help the next generation overcome those things. Why is it important, okay? Let me give you this thought. It is important because you know what the other side is like. You know what the other side is like. You know, there's only two ways to learn something in life. There's only two ways to learn. You do it yourself, or you watch somebody else do it, or observe somebody else doing it, okay? That's the two ways. You know, it's a lot better to learn from somebody else's mistakes than to go learn from your own mistakes. I like learning a lot about different things, okay? I like learning a lot about construction things. But you know what I do? I've got papers on my desk right now. I've got papers about drywalling, okay? Brother Chad, are you a good drywaller? No, I despise it, okay? But I want to get better at it. And you know one way I can get better at it is not just slapping mud on the wall and then spending 4 hours trying to sand it all off. It's learning how somebody else did it. And I can learn from their mistakes so I don't make the same mistakes, okay? You know, it saves you a lot of time in life if you'll just learn from somebody else's mistakes. Because most people, it seems like in a lot of areas, most people, when I sit down and talk to an older man in here, and you're willing a lot of times to tell me about your mistakes. You wouldn't believe what I did this time, and I made this way, and it blew apart. And okay, well, you know, it's very frustrating at the moment. It's kind of humorous later on, and it's like, okay, well, we can learn from that. Let's not do it this way. Let's do it a better way. And, you know, I want for the young people, why should they – Pastor talks about the devil's front door and the devil's back door. And some of you have been kicked out the devil's back door. Why would we not stand at the devil's front door and say, hey, don't go in here. Let me tell you about the back door. Why wouldn't we do that? And I think some of it is a pride issue because we're afraid, well, you know, it's humiliating. We messed up. I messed up. I've told the young people stories about me growing up in high school where I didn't do what was right. Am I proud of those things? No. But why do I tell them? So they don't go do the same thing. Hey, don't have this. When somebody corrects you, don't have this attitude. Why? Because it hurts you in the long run. What am I trying to do? I'm trying to help them not make the same mistakes that I have made. Okay? And I think it's important that we help the younger generations with what we struggle with. What is involved with this? Communication. This is where a lot of us don't do very well. We don't communicate very well. Hey, listen, I know you struggle with this, but I struggle with this too. Here, let me help you with this. Okay? Let me help you with this. Because like I said, are you just going to let them walk into life and mess up and mess up and mess up? All right? Now, listen, I know the saying, and it is true, unsought for advice is seldom heeded and often resented. Okay? I know that. And sometimes it's better, you know, if my kids keep sticking, you know, a knife in the receptacle, and I keep telling them, don't stick the knife in the receptacle, and they keep doing it, you know, the best teacher at that point in their life is to get really shocked, okay? And I'll just let them do it, all right? Is it going to kill them? No. Will it scare them to death? Absolutely, okay? And so sometimes that is the best teacher, but there are other things in life that you got to be careful with, that it's not a shock, it's a life changer, okay? Now, the life-changing things, you need to do everything you can to keep them from going down the same path, okay? Communicate. Communication, let me say this, communication keeps you accountable. Keeps you accountable. You know, one of the things that I've noticed, and I'll use an illustration here, but one of the things I've noticed is we don't want to communicate things that we still struggle with. Why? Because then that keeps us. Hey, let me use this for illustration. If I struggle with bad music, okay, and I would say, all right, young people, I want you to here's all the reasons, and I've spent 6 weeks in our teen training hour, at least six, teaching about the wrong kind of music. I'm very comfortable talking about the wrong kind of music. But you know, one of the reasons I'm very comfortable ripping music because I don't struggle with music. If I struggled with music, it's hard for you to talk about music. Does that make sense? Okay, as a general rule. We go to youth conferences. I am completely, and I know technology has its advantages. But compared to the disadvantages it's a very small percentage, in my opinion. Okay? And listen, these kids don't need smartphones. They don't need them. All right? There is no purpose for a young person having a smartphone. I'm very comfortable saying that. I have a flip phone. You know why we go to most youth conferences and they won't talk about the technology and the dangers of technology? You know why we go and they can't talk about it? It's because they've all got it. How can you preach against something that you're holding in your hand? You can't do it. How can you preach against pornography when you're involved in it? You can't do it. The Holy Spirit convicts you. And even if you try to say it, you can't say it with authority. Okay? How can you preach against wrong music if you listen to it all the time? How can you preach against alcohol if you drink it? How can you preach against smoking if you smoke? You can't do it. Not with authority. And because of that, you know, if you communicate, well, I struggle with this, and let me help you with this, and you still do it, you're just throwing words to the wind. Okay? We've got to be able to, but, you know, how many want your kids to go start, you know, living a hellish life? Well, nobody does. But are we? That's a question, and it holds us accountable. Communication keeps us accountable. Lack of communication is a result of being uncomfortable. All right? Lack of communication. If you're not communicating, all right, young people, I'm standing here at the devil's front door, or are you still halfway through the devil's? He hasn't quite kicked you out yet, and you're still enjoying the sin. You can't stand at the front door and tell somebody not to go in if you're still in the house enjoying it. Does that make sense? Okay? You can't stand there at the front and say, you shouldn't do this while you're in the middle of it doing it. You can't be two places at one time. All right? So we got to be careful. I got to be careful with our young people. Am I living my life consistently? Can they look at Brother Chad and say, okay, he doesn't do this, so I'm not going to do it either. All right? Now, am I trying to have people follow me? No. You know the two groups of people I promote to our young people more than any is their parents and their pastor. I don't try to get a I don't need a following, okay? I mess up too much. I know that. I don't need a following. I want to push them to pastor, and I want, you know, obviously I'm wanting to push them to God. I'm not saying that, but as a human perspective, push them to their pastor, push them to their parents, okay? I'm trying to push the kids to you. All right, we are. We're trying to. You know what Paul said, though? Be ye followers of who? All right? Me. He said, be ye followers of me as I am of Christ. Okay? What is he saying? He's like, okay, I know it's hard to understand exactly what God would do, but I'm going to try to follow God. And if I'm following God and doing what I'm supposed to do, you can follow. You know, what do we tell our, you know, we always say, you know, young people, you need to follow God. You need to do the will of God. Are you doing the will of God? It's hard to tell somebody to do the will of God if you're not doing the will of God. Okay? If there's a struggle, if there's something that we fight with, communicate those things. Let's go to Proverbs, because I believe that, actually, excuse me, let's go to 1 Chronicles. Let's go to 1 Chronicles first, and then we'll go to Proverbs. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. We see a man here that is giving some advice to his son in 1 Chronicles chapter 28. Brother Chad, how do we keep the third and fourth generation? Remember what I said. How many, and I thank the Townsleys. I love the Townsleys. It's ironic they're here this morning. You know, you've got lots of generations that are serving God. Okay? Lot of generations. But typically, in Christianity, three or four is what you get before you lose one. A whole generation. I don't understand that. I don't get that. But I wonder if sometimes, remember, what caused Israel to have the judgment of God come upon them? First of all, started with the parents that wouldn't quite drive out everybody they were supposed to. And then it was their kids that went and married wrong. And then the next generation is the one that God said, All right, here comes the judgment, okay? But in 1 Chronicles chapter number 28, verse number 9, the Bible says, "And now, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." So we have the advice of David, King David. The Bible says he was the man after God's own heart. Okay? The man after God's own heart. And he challenges Solomon. He says, "Solomon, I want you to serve God with your whole heart, with a perfect heart." Okay? Perfect, complete. Serve him with your whole heart. And he'll preserve you forever. Now, with that in mind, let's go to Proverbs. Proverbs. Now, we're not going to go do a biography of King Solomon. But in Proverbs, we're going to just hit a few. We're going to go through this machine gun style. Wrong gun. Proverbs chapter number 1. And we love the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is a book of wisdom. The wisest man that's ever lived on earth besides the Lord Jesus Christ, okay, that I would know of. But in some ways, he was really, I don't know if it was wisdom, foolishness, or just plain stupidity, okay? But he really screwed up in some ways, majorly, okay? You don't have as many wives as he had without screwing up, okay? But it's interesting, and we're going to look at this. Proverbs chapter number 1, verse number 8. Bible says, "My what? My son." It's a father giving instruction to his son. "Hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, 'Come with us,' let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause." What is this? It's a father standing and saying, "Hey, be careful about this. Be careful about this sin." Okay, now I don't necessarily have any record of Solomon fighting, you know, bad influences in life, except for the women. Okay? But if you go through the book of Proverbs, especially like the first 10 chapters, let's just say the first 10 chapters, look at how many times Solomon references the strange woman or following a woman, okay? You know what that was for Solomon? That was his besetting sin, okay? Let's look at this. Proverbs chapter 2, verse number 1. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee," all right? So then it gives, I'm just going to skip some, just skip some down here, down to verse number 11. So this is all the good things that's going to happen if you, you know, walk uprightly, have wisdom, et cetera, et cetera. Verse 11, "Discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it." What is this? It's a father saying, "Son, you need to live this way, because if you don't, the evil man and the strange woman are out to get you." I think Solomon had some experience and was trying to say, let's go to Ecclesiastes and look at the end of Solomon's life and what he said, you know, "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. I've had 1,000 women and experienced all the treasure and everything I can have, and here's the end of it." All right? "Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Look it down at verse 11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary at his correction. Flip over to chapter 4, verse number 20. My son, and we're skipping a few. There's more my son things in here, but my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Look at Proverbs chapter number 5, verse number 1. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding. Now, if you're familiar with Proverbs chapter number 5, it basically talks about an immoral relationship, okay? And his cautioning his son about this immoral relationship. Proverbs chapter number 6, verse number 1. My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger. And then it gives some business advice here. Proverbs chapter number 6, verse number 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Why? Why all this? To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. You know, Solomon's not just spouting these things off. Solomon is speaking from experience. Hey, this is what happens. Don't go down this road. You know, I think it's important for this generation, help the younger generation. If you see them going down a certain way, say, you know, there's nothing wrong with your testimony. I've told people before, well, God can't use me anymore. Brother Heath, most of you know Brother Heath, okay? He gave his testimony down in teen training hour, teen Sunday school, probably a year ago now. And God is using Heath right now. Most of you don't keep up with that, but that man wins souls weekly. And I'm not just talking, you know, one here, one there. I'm talking two or three a week, okay? Well, Brother Heath has a, you know, the Unshackled, I think it's Unshackled from Pacific Garden Mission, the radio program. You know, the kind of the cool testimonies of, you know, I was this and then God changed. He's got an Unshackled testimony, okay? If you want to talk to a guy that has experienced every facet of sin, and he doesn't glorify it, but he'll tell you, I've been there, I've done that, I've got the t-shirt, you don't want to go down that road. And I appreciate that of a person. You know, he could just be like, well, you know, I can't be used. No, he says, I can be used by God. And if my testimony can help a young person not go down that path, do I like giving it? Not really. But I will if it can help somebody. And I think that's a great attitude to have. Sometimes we're just so quiet about stuff that we're not willing to help the next generation. And because of that, they go down the same path that the parents went down, and there is nobody there to help them, all right? Proverbs chapter 7, we're very familiar with Proverbs chapter 7. My son, keep my words, first verse, and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. Why? That they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger, which flattereth with her words. This is the thought for this morning. You know, how can we help it to be a 6-7 generation Christianity? I would love that for our family, to have 6-7 generation. And I'm not just talking about Christians. You know, how many people do you meet on visitation that won't step a door in church, but you know, they're Christians, and their grandpa was a Baptist preacher. all the time. Okay? Well, my grandpa, you know, I don't care. You're not held accountable for your grandpa. You're held accountable for you. Okay? And you're going to stand before God. But what caused him to leave? What caused him to leave? Maybe it was because there was a parent that struggled with something. And one, they never got the victory on it. And so they're still in the devil's house enjoying it. And not standing at the front door saying, hey, don't go in. Or two, they just don't want to say anything about it. Okay? If you struggle with something, don't be afraid that, you know, you do it. You don't want to glorify sin. I'm not talking about glorifying sin. But help your kids. Help the young people. You know, if you're always tearing down Pastor Ross at the supper table, how do you expect your kids to listen to what he says? They're not going to do it. They're not going to do it. And I have to, I want to be very careful. You know, in every area, you know, with me and my wife, I would never want to say anything that would tear my wife down in front of my kids. I wouldn't want to say anything to tear my wife down anyway. I love her, okay? But why would you do that in front of your kids where they lose that respect, okay? And if there's something that you struggle with, deal with. First of all, you got to deal with it in your life. If you don't deal with it in your life, you'll never be able to help the next generation, okay? And it's just going to get worse. So deal with it in your life. And then warn the next generation, hey, don't go down that road. This is not worth wasting your life on, okay, for the few minutes of pleasure or the few minutes of enjoyment. Because once you do that, you're never the same. Never the same. So let's help the next generation. Let's not just leave them to wander around in life. Let's help guide them where they'll be guided. You know, listen, you can only do so much. You can only do so much. You can only teach. You can only train. And ultimately, they're going to stand before God and give account for what they have done. And they have to make... You know, if you've got somebody, you say, Brother Chad, we tried. And they just decided they didn't want to do it. You don't need to spend your whole life beating yourself up over that. Okay? You know, they have to stand before God for their choices. All right? They have to. But if there's something that you can do to help them and you didn't do to help them, think about that. Think about that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this lesson from Ezekiel. Lord, I pray that you would help us to all be aware that we stand before God. Lord, I'm not accountable for my father. My son's not accountable for me. Lord, we're accountable for ourselves. But let's help me to be able to help the next generation just say, to caution them, to warn them about things, to warn them about the snares of the devil, the temptations that are out there. And Lord, I pray that we would help the next generation be a success for you. And we'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.